And there were in the same country also shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Tonight I want to talk about the glory of the Lord, which shone round about the shepherds. But we're going to have to go back to the Old Testament to start to get the context, and then we'll try to bring this into our current situation so that we can have a frame of reference for the glory of the Lord, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that glory of the Lord applies to us today. So as we come to the Word of God, let's have a word of prayer. We do give thanks, Heavenly Father, that You have revealed Yourself to us. I thank You that You have revealed Yourself to us in the universe, but also in a much more personal way, that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the express image of Your being, and that the one who has seen the Son has seen the Father. And I thank You, Father, that we can know You, and we can have a personal relationship through You, through the one that You sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank You for Your word that reveals all of these things to us. I pray now that Your Holy Spirit will open our understanding, that we might have greater appreciation for You and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, tonight I want to talk about something that is known theologically as the Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory is the visible manifestation of the presence of God. Of course, God is omnipresent, which means He's here and He's there. And anywhere in the universe you might go, God is there. And were it possible to go beyond the universe, God is there. So He is omnipresent, all places at once. And yet, God sometimes will reveal His presence in a special way. And when God reveals that He is present in some physical way, in some manner that impinges upon our senses, this is called Shekinah. Now, the usual title found in Scripture for the Shekinah glory is the glory of the Lord. So, Shekinah glory. It means His presence, His visible presence. Now, in the Old Testament, most of these visible manifestations took the form of light, or fire, or cloud, or sometimes thick darkness. Now, sometimes we don't think about the glory of God being manifested in darkness that you can't see through. And yet sometimes the fact that God is actually present in a place will be manifested by a thick darkness. Now, we see this in the burning bush. That was a visible manifestation of the presence of God. It was in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that led the children of Israel through the desert. It was also visible in the Holy of Holies, first in the tabernacle and then later on in the first temple. Now, the purpose of the tabernacle is given in Exodus chapter 29. And this is found in verses 42 through 46. Okay, he talks here about the tabernacle. Now, the Lord says, I will meet to speak with you at the door of the tabernacle. He says, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now, this is going to be the Shekinah glory. This will be the actual physical manifestation that God is present in that place. Of course He's in that place. But he's saying here, I'm going to show you in a very special way that I am among you. And so he calls it here, my glory. In verse 45, I will dwell among the children of Israel. I will be their God. When he says, I will dwell among them, he's saying, I'm going to make my presence known in a very special way by this revelation. So we have here the Hebrew word for I will dwell, where he says I will dwell. It's the same root as you find in the word Shekinah. And the Hebrew word for tabernacle has the same root as Shekinah. So the word tabernacle could also be translated as the dwelling place of the Shekinah. That's the tabernacle. What is it? We call it a tent, but it's the dwelling place of the Shekinah, that visible manifestation of the presence of God. Now, Solomon built a temple, a magnificent structure, one of the most beautiful things that man has ever constructed. And in it they had a brand new Holy of Holies. And at that time, when they inaugurated this temple, the Shekinah glory was transferred from the tabernacle, Holy of Holies, to the temple, Holy of Holies. This is found in 1 Kings chapter 8. In verses 10 through 12. Okay, it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place. This is the inauguration of Solomon's temple. That the cloud filled the house of the Lord. There's a cloud. Special manifestation of the presence of God. It filled the entire temple. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. You see, the cloud is the glory of the Lord. The cloud is the Shekinah. This manifestation that God is there. How do I know God is there? Well, I've got this cloud that I can't see through. The priest couldn't be there. And it's to tell the people, God indeed is in this place. Then Solomon spoke, the Lord said He would dwell in the dark cloud. You couldn't see through it. It is so thick. It's like being in a great fog bank. Or if you have flown through the clouds and you know you can't see anything. And that's what he's talking about here. So in verse 10, the cloud filled the house. In verse 11, the glory of Jehovah, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And this is similar to what happened when they inaugurated the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40. But here in verse 12, the Shekinah glory began to dwell in the thick darkness of the Holy of Holies. And the word to dwell here, again, it's the same root as Shekinah. And in the next verse, in verse 13, the point is made here that this was a house of habitation, a place for God to dwell in His visible manifestation as the Shekinah glory. I have surely built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell forever. Now, Israel had this tremendous blessing from God. He is dwelling in their midst, and He shows that He is dwelling in their midst. But, of course, Israel didn't appreciate this, and they went apostate. And they continually rebelled against the Lord, and therefore the Shekinah glory is going to depart from Israel. This is described in Ezekiel chapter 11. And And there is going to be a departure of the Shekinah, and people are going to see it. They are going to know. Now, does this mean God is no longer in Israel? No! Of course God is still in Israel. But this visible manifestation of God among them is going to depart from the temple. And it's going to say, you people are under a curse. You don't have the same blessing that I gave you in the past because you have rebelled against me. So Ezekiel 11:22, the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. Glory of God. This is the Shekinah glory. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain. This is the Mount of Olives, which is on the east side of the city. So here is the picture that Ezekiel describes. You have the Shekinah glory. It was in the temple, and it's going to go to the gate of the temple, and then it's going to depart from the temple. It's going to go across the valley and up on the Mount of Olives. The glory is going to depart from Israel. Now, after this time, the Jews are going to go into captivity. And they are going to be in Babylon for 70 years, and then they're going to come back and they are going to rebuild the temple. But the glory is not going to come and be manifest in that second temple as it was in the first temple or as it was in the tabernacle. In the little book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 3, you have a remnant who had come back to Jerusalem. They were the old folks. They had seen the original temple of Solomon in all of its glory, its grandeur, its beauty, its magnificence. They saw that. Now they come back and they see this second temple, which by comparison is very drab. But that's not the important difference. The important difference is the fact that the glory of the Lord is not going to be visibly present. Is God going to be there? Absolutely. But not the Shekinah glory. Now he says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Now many people think, well, this is just talking about the grandeur, the beauty of the temple. I don't think so. I think he's saying something that is much more spiritually significant, and that is that the Shekinah glory is not there. In the previous temple, they saw that. How do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? The glory of God is not here. The Shekinah is missing. But when you go down to verse 9, we see that there is a promise. The glory of this latter temple. What is the latter temple? It's the second temple. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. The glory of the second temple is going to be more glorious than Solomon's temple. I don't think he's saying here, oh, it's going to be more beautiful, it's going to be more ornate. I don't think he's simply saying here it's going to be bigger, ultimately, when Herod gets through. No, the glory is going to be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And so Haggai is promising here, when he writes this prophecy, that there's going to be something in the second temple that surpasses the first temple. Now remember, unlike the tabernacle and unlike the first temple, the second temple does not begin with a manifestation of the Shekinah glory. But the promise is made that a time is coming in the future when it will have a greater glory. And again, they would see the manifestation of God's presence in Shekinah glory in that second temple. We're not talking about a millennial temple here. We're talking about the second temple. That's what he says. This latter temple, it's going to have greater glory. Now, when was the second temple destroyed? 70 AD. Therefore, This promise had to be fulfilled before 70 AD. There was a greater glory in the second temple than in the first. What are we talking about here? Now we can come to the New Testament. All right. In Luke chapter 2, there were shepherds in the same country living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. What is this glory of the Lord? It's the visible manifestation of the presence of God. God is there. It's the Shekinah glory. Not only did they see this angel, but the glory of the Lord was there. They are in the presence of God. God said, this is from God. This is special. And so we see now at the very night of the birth of Jesus, God now announces by His visible presence that something new is going to start. And so the Shekinah announces the birth of Messiah to these Jewish shepherds. In Matthew chapter 2, where again we have the account of the birth of Jesus, this is where we have wise men from the east who come to Jerusalem. And they say, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and we have come to worship Him." I remember one night, it was many years ago now, but Phyllis and I went to the planetarium. And we saw this special show at Christmas time on the star of the Magi. And they had all of these theories, and they put them all up on the top of this planetarium. It was a gorgeous show. It was fantastic to watch all of these different things as the stars moved, and they showed this is the way the sky looked in 4 BC. And this is the way it would have been on December 25th, and they showed how maybe this star was here and that star was there, maybe a conjunction of planets or different stars getting together, and they had all of these theories. Oh, it was a magnificent presentation. And I believe all of them are wrong. This is a star. Now, this word star, it means radiance. It means brilliance. It's something that comes in the form of light. And I do not believe that this is something that we can go out and see. But rather, this is the Shekinah glory. This is God manifesting Himself in a visible way. It's the reappearance of the Shekinah glory announcing the birth of Jesus Christ to Gentiles. This star is different. Why? Because it moves from east to west, doesn't it? Did they follow the star? They did. It went from east to west, and then it's going to go from north to south. It's going to go from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. And you can't follow any star out in the heavens that way. It's not possible. You can get a general direction, follow the north stars, but it's not going to lead you to a specific city like we're going to go from somewhere in Iran to Jerusalem, or to go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It can't lead you in that way. And not only that, this is going to point them to a specific house. So this is not some star up in the sky. No, this is the Shekinah glory. It's the visible manifestation of God's presence. It's leading them. We saw His star. We saw His radiance. We saw His visible presence. And now we have come to worship this one who is announced by the Shekinah glory. And then we see the most dramatic, the most impressive display of the Shekinah glory. The Word, eternal God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this says he dwelt among us. Now, the word dwelt we'll just do it that way. Skene. Now, skene is the Greek equivalent to Shekinah. In Greek, they don't have an SH sound the way they do in Hebrew. But you see, if you could put one in, okay, and a little vowel there, you see that? This says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us. And this is the visible manifestation of God. Ah, here is the true Shekinah glory. It's the eternal Word who became flesh. God is now visibly manifest, present among us. No one has seen God in any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Okay. The result of the tabernacling, if I can make a verb out of that, is that men are now able to behold the glory of God in the form of a man. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. What is this light? It's the Shekinah glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God now manifesting himself physically. Now through a human body, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the many times that Jesus walked in the temple compound during his ministry, this fulfilled that prophecy of Haggai, that the glory of the latter temple is going to be greater than the glory of the former temple. His glory was manifested as he taught in the temple. His glory was manifested when he cleansed the temple. And so we have a parallel here with the Old Testament, and it should not be missed. The Shekinah glory. In the Old Testament, it appeared in the tabernacle and then in the temple, and then it left. Remember where it left from? The Mount of Olives. And now, in the New Testament, we have Messiah who has come, and he is visible, and then he too is going to depart. And he's also going to leave from the Mount of Olives. So Jesus was the visible manifestation of God's presence in new form, a unique Shekinah manifestation of Christ himself as the God-man. And Christ as the manifestation of God's presence is taught in the New Testament epistles as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 5 and 6, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And this passage states that through Jesus Christ, light shines out of the darkness. And the light is that of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so the glory of God is manifested in the person of Jesus, and Jesus is indeed a new manifestation of God's presence. Well, what do we do with this? What do we do with this information? We, as believers today, should reflect the glory that is Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 12 through 18. Okay, we have such hope, because we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. This is a reference to when Moses received the law and he would go up on the mountain and he is talking with God. He's in the presence of God, and it animated Moses so much that when he came down, his face literally was shining. It was a glow. But Moses would come down, he put a veil over his face because the glow would fade. And he didn't want people to see this glow fade away lest they begin to think lightly of the law that God was giving. And so Moses would hide his face with a veil. And also the fact that the glow would fade from the face of Moses is also a picture of the fact that the law is also going to fade away in the future, but we don't want the people to disregard the law. But he says here, their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. When the veil is removed, then you can see the real glory. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I look into the Word of God. I see the glory of the Lord. I look at Jesus Christ, and I see the glory of the Lord. Now, this says we believers in Jesus Christ, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is saying that we ought to reflect the very glory of God in our lives. You ought to be a reflection. People ought to say, ah, God is present. There is a visible manifestation in your life that Jesus Christ is there, that God is there. I had some weird woman come up to me over in Belarus. I mean, they're very spiritual people. They're mystical. And she said, oh, when you were preaching, I could just see your aura. They're very big on auras. You see their paintings. They put halos around people and that sort of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. They're not going to see an aura. But they ought to be able to see Jesus Christ in you. His glory ought to be reflected in your life. We are being transformed. We are being changed. And as you grow, what is the objective of your spiritual life? It is to become like the Son of God. It is to become like Jesus Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 4:19, Christ formed in you. We are to grow up, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, into the stature that belongs to the fullness of the maturity of Jesus Christ. You are to become like Jesus Christ, and you are to show that God is present in your life. The Shekinah glory ought to be resident in you. And people ought to be able to see that. So you are to become Christ-like. You are to become godly. What is godliness? Godliness is the character of Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's godliness. Godliness is the very character of Jesus Christ. Now you have to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It takes work. It doesn't come through some mystical experience. It doesn't come by emotions. It doesn't come because you put yourself into a trance or because you've swayed to certain music. No, it comes as you take in the Word of God. As you begin to grow in your spiritual life, more and more this glory is going to be manifested in your life, and the very glory that belongs to Jesus Christ can be formed in you. You are to be transformed. You are to be changed from what you are into the very character of Jesus Christ. And the means of Christ-likeness is something that you can manifest when you are filled by the Holy Spirit and when you are walking by means of the Holy Spirit. And only when you are using the power of God, the Holy Spirit, for it is the very ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit does that in your life, then you are going to reflect this glory that belongs to God. It's an incredible thing that we can do to manifest the glory of God in our lives. Imagine that. You know George Mueller, missionary in Germany. For many years he was in Western Africa, in the country of Cameroon. And he and his wife, Erica, were linguists. And they went in there and they found these people and nobody had set this language down in writing before. And so they went in there and they learned this language and the principles of the grammar. And that they had to learn the vocabulary there so they could translate the Bible into that language. And they could not find a word for grace. These people didn't have a word for grace in their language, and they're trying to find a word that is going to convey this idea that you receive something that you don't deserve. Something that is not yours by virtue of the fact that you've worked for it. And they didn't have a word like that in their language. Finally, they learned a word. It's a very special word. You've seen the water when the sun shines on it and it sparkles. I have a picture in my archives. It's in black and white. But it shows the water and there are a million points of light dancing on the face of the water. And the caption says, "I love water when it wears diamonds." Okay. These people had a word that was used for the reflection of light on the water. A very special word. And this word conveyed the fact that this property did not belong to the water, but rather it was something that was given to the water. It was a glory that was given to the water that the water didn't deserve. Wasn't a property of the water. And so they had this one word that conveys this entire concept. George says, that's grace. Okay. What is grace? I'm receiving what I do not earn, what I do not deserve, something that is not intrinsic within me. But if I receive that grace, I can sparkle like the diamonds on the water. And that's what we've got to be. We have got to be reflections of the very Shekinah glory. It's got to be reflected in our lives so that when people look at us, they're saying, "Oh, there is the presence of God. I know that God is with this person because this glory is being reflected." And so, the Shekinah glory manifested in the Old Testament, visible presence of God, specially manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ in a very unique way. And today we have the obligation as believers in Jesus Christ to reflect that glory. Are we going to do that? And I think that as our culture becomes more and more secular, that we ought to shine brighter and brighter. Oh, America is becoming such a dark place. I think that perhaps we see it more than you do because you live here and it's like the frog in the kettle. You know, when you turn up the water a little at a time, the frog doesn't know it's being cooked and you can actually cook that frog. Now, if you drop it in hot water, it's going to jump out. But if you turn it up a little bit at a time, you can cook it that way. Well, when we are gone from America for long periods of time, and we come back and we see many things that perhaps are not so stark to you, to see how far you've come because you're with it every day. It's been several years since we've been here at Christmas time. And I come back and I see a lot more Christmas trimmings, a lot more lights on lawns and decorating houses. But I see fewer and fewer manifestations of anything related to Jesus Christ. See Santa Claus, the God of Christmas. We give him attributes of deity, don't we? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Are these attributes of deity? They surely are. And he's, you see, going to bless you on the basis of your works. God of Christmas. See a lot of that. We see elves. We see snowmen. We see all sorts of things that relate to winter. Very, very few things about the Lord Jesus Christ. What's in your home? If people walked into your home and they saw all the stuff that you have for Christmas, would they say, now here is the visible manifestation of God? Would they know from your home? What are they going to see? We had a Sunday school class, second graders, and the teacher was going to read from Luke chapter 2, and she had set up the nativity scene. And she lighted a candle, and she turned out the lights, and now she wants to have this silent night, holy night, and she wants to read the Christmas story to her children. So she's got this candle set up, and she started to read the story. And a little kid in the back said, "Hey, teacher, move the candle. I can't see Jesus." You got too many things that keep you from reflecting the glory of God? Do you have things that are hiding the Shekinah? People know that God's with you. God's in your life, that God's in your family, that Jesus is in your home. I think that when we realize what Jesus Christ did to manifest God, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. And we have a responsibility to reflect that in our lives. And I hope that as you think about Christmas and why we are here, that indeed people are going to look at you and say, I see. I can see that glory. So I challenge you this Christmas, magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Live in such a way. What did Jesus say? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May that be yours this Christmas. I'm going to close here, Pastor. If we will, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give thanks tonight for Jesus. I thank you that he was willing to leave the glory of heaven to humiliate himself by becoming a man and suffering the death on the cross so that we might have life. I thank you also, Father, that you restored to him the glory that he always had with you in eternity past, that when he ascended up on high, that the fullness of that glory was again his, in all of its manifestation. But I thank you, Father, that for a period, the Shekinah glory was seen in the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked on this earth, as He went into that temple. And that we read about this in Your Word and that we can see that glory. I thank You also, Father, that we have the privilege of representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we are going to live in such a way that we will walk in the Spirit, so that the glory that belongs to Jesus Christ might be seen in us. That as the world looks at us, they will say, there is the manifestation of the presence of God. May we bring glory to the One who is glory. And Father, as we think about the birth of our Savior in this season, may we truly understand its significance. It's not merely the birth of a baby. We're not just emotional because a baby has been born. But rather, it is Your way of showing Your presence. And I thank You that You provided this One who would one day die for the sins of the world. I thank You that the light is shining yet in darkness. And I pray that because of us, we might be light shining in the darkness, and that people will be drawn to this light. And Father, I pray that You will use us, even in this season, to point others to the light of the world. May they see the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank You for this time we've had in Your Word. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to these things, that we might have a greater appreciation for You, for Your glory, and for that special manifestation of Your glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.